Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. And just a little inside baseball, I guess. Don't go out and say, oh, we had a low crowd today. There was hardly nobody in church. I asked somebody last Sunday night, how many of you think was in church today? One said 55. One said 65. One said 75. I said, would it surprise you to know there were 92? 92? I don't believe that. Well, just to let you know, I love all you folks that sit under that. That's no problem. You can sit there. But if no one sits in the middle and everybody sits out here, it sometimes doesn't look like there's a crowd here. And so don't go out and tell everybody, there wasn't a crowd here. Don't worry, I go home and I count attendance. I add it up. I count who's regular and who might be sick or missing. If that number drops below a certain point, that's when I say, you know what? It's time for me to move on. But that hadn't happened yet. So just to let you know, everything's okay. There's a lot of folks gone. So don't go out and tell everybody, oh, I had a lousy crowd. Or don't come in one and say, oh, man, we had a great crowd. Hey, people are coming. People love the Lord. People have problems. So just hang. I say that for myself, too, because sometimes you come in and go, there's nobody here. Then I go and go, well, there was. Look, if you will, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. These things which I have heard, both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, but now at the last care of me hath flourished again, wherein you also were careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. I both know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. Encourage us today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I come back to these verses ever so often, because sometimes I need a good dose of learning to be content. We live in a world, apparently, where there's a lot of discontented people. There's a lot of angry people. There's a lot of mad people. We're even seeing violence by people. We're even seeing murders by people. There's just a lot of discontent. That doesn't mean everybody is, because that's what gets the headline. And if you run into people, you will find out that there's not that many people that are just content in life. And so I want to teach you some principles on learning to be content. We're just going to look at verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul said in verse 12 or verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. The word contentment is interesting. Didn't realize it. It means to be self-complacent. Now, it doesn't mean to be complacent and unconcerned, but the idea of the word means to be pleased with one's lot in life. It is not just a matter of, okay, I'll accept things, but it is to be pleased with whatever lot in life you have endured. It also means to be satisfied with all of life. Now, of course, it doesn't mean to be satisfied with being lazy or being no good or not striving to be the best you can be. That's not what we're talking about. But it does mean to be satisfied whether the circumstances are good or whether they're bad. Not to rejoice just because they're good and then to not rejoice when they're bad. But it just means to be satisfied. Another meaning of the word which shocked me in studying it. It means to resist the shock of circumstance. That's what the word contentment means. It means to resist the shock of the circumstances you and I face in life. It's not just enough to say, well, all right, we'll endure. But it means to resist what that circumstance does to us. It means to be content. The first principle is rejoicing in the Lord. Notice he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You can't see it in the text, but in Greek, Greek is very precise in what it says. And there are certain things, all are a command, but this is particularly in the command tense. And first, it is a command to rejoice. It's not a suggestion. It's not a nice little thing you should have. It is a command to do it. The idea is this. You're to rejoice in the Lord as a command. You may feel bad, you may be discouraged, you may be up, you may be down, but you are commanded to rejoice in the Lord no matter what. The second thing, it is in the content, which means it is to be continuous. You can see it in the text. Rejoice in the Lord always, or always. And again, I say rejoice. The idea is that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. Not sometimes. Not when the circumstances are good. Boy, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm riding high on the clouds. Everything's great. No, it means we rejoice in the Lord even when it's bad. Now, I'm not talking about you and I experience the normal emotions of struggle and humanity and sometimes in tragedy we experience all those things. I'm not talking about that. But it simply means that we're to rejoice in the Lord continually. Thirdly, the word rejoice just shocked me. It's amazing when I study the scripture, I learned. I guess I've just come here to tell you what I've learned. And it shocked me what the word rejoice meant. You know, oh, rejoice. You know what the word rejoice means? It means to have cheerfulness. It means to have cheerfulness. And it shocked me when I looked at the Greek word. It means to have cheerfulness in something. Now, you know what cheerfulness is. Now, you know what rejoicing is. Some people may think, well, rejoicing is just, you know, shouting and carrying on. That's not necessarily rejoicing. Cheerfulness is just simply being happy and cheerful. Boy, that hit me like a 2x4. You are to be cheerful in the Lord. Now, sometimes we Christians go out there and we act like this Christianity is so miserable, is so awful, is so terrible. And I wonder why anybody would want to even be a Christian sometimes, the way we Christians are, and I include myself in that. So I'll ask you a question today. Are you cheerful? You know what cheerfulness is. I wish I could define it better. I just know when I'm cheerful and when I'm not. Cheerfulness and what? In the Lord. The first principle of being content and learning to be satisfied, not satisfied with mediocrity and nothingness. That's not what we're talking about. But to be satisfied and resisting the shock of all the things that come to us is to learn to be cheerful in the Lord. You know, I'll tell you something about God. God's always the same. You ever run into people sometimes, they'll say, well, you know one thing about that person, they're always the same. Well, I'm going to tell you something about God. God is always the same. You may be up, you may be down. You may be mad, you may be sad. God's always the same God, and he never changes. It's interesting, when Jesus got Peter and he walked on the water, and Peter said, "Let me do that." And so Peter stepped out of the boat and started to walk across on the water, and all of a sudden he looked down and realized where he was and go, "Oh no," and he sunk. And the principle is this: he put his eyes on his situation and not his eyes on the Lord he was walking to. To be cheerful in the Lord is to be cheerful in the Lord. He doesn't change. And let me tell you two things you can be cheerful and rejoice in the Lord about. One, his character. You know, you may run into folks, and sometimes we folks are not all we should be, and sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down. Sometimes we're this, sometimes we're that. But God's character never changes. He is always the same God. First of all, they're what I call the three O's. He's omniscient, which means he knows all things. He's omnipresent, which the little girl said this morning, which means he is everywhere. Thirdly, he is omnipotent, which means he has all power. And that never changes. He is eternal. He has always been. He will always be. He will never cease to exist. He will never cease to be God. He will never cease to be the person that he is. He is always going to be the eternal, everlasting God. He's a kind God. He's a loving God. He's a gracious God. He's a working God. He's a powerful God. He's always God. I have a little list in my prayer thing of the different characteristics of God. Those three O's, and his love and compassion, his justice and all those things. And oftentimes I will just focus and thank God that he's who he is. Rather than looking at who folks are, or rather than looking at what circumstances are, I rejoice in the Lord. Now, I can't say I always do that. That's why I'm studying this passage of Scripture, because it's kind of hit me. To be cheerful in the Lord. To rejoice always in him, because his character is always the same. You may find a bad circumstance, you haven't surprised God. You may find a good circumstance, you haven't surprised God. He's always the same. I love the verse that says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, where there's no shadow of turning, which means he's always doing the same thing, giving, providing. I woke up this morning breathing. He watched over me over the night. He took good care of me. He will keep care of me today. And when it is time, he'll just take me on to heaven. He's always caring for us, always watching over us. He always looks out after us. He always cares for us. At Bill Floyd's funeral this week, he said a couple things of Bill Floyd that I knew, because I ran into Bill Floyd every so often. Bill Floyd loved the Psalms. Oftentimes, he encouraged me in the Psalms. But one of them was Psalms 139. I'm going to go back and been going back to study it. But in it, it lists the characteristics of God. And then he said that there's one verse that says, behold, how great are your thoughts towards me. And the truth is, when God thinks of you, he thinks of you with love. He thinks of you with many thoughts. He thinks of you with much grace. He is always a kind and loving God. So what are you to rejoice in? Well, first, you rejoice in the character of God. And I think, secondly, I could list a bunch of things, but you rejoice in the compassion of God to save you. You know, the problem is, when you've been saved a long time, you kind of take it for granted. And also, when you've been saved for a while and you really haven't been bad, you kind of take it for granted. You know, as I walk with the Lord and discover things about myself and my sinfulness, it just reminds me that, Lord, I may not have been, quote, bad, but I see the sinfulness in my heart, and I come to appreciate the cross and the indwelling Holy Spirit. And the danger of Christians is we can get so caught up in this world and what's going on, and I don't necessarily mean worldly things, but what's going on, that we get just uncaring to the greatness that we are saved, and if we draw our last breath, we go to heaven forever and ever and ever. Boy, you can rejoice in that. You know, I didn't know that people had so many opinions today. I was looking at a news article, and I look up the news quite often, and as I scrolled on down, I didn't realize that people made comments. And so I started reading those comments. And after the third one, I said, that's it. I ain't listening to any more of this stuff. These people are morons. These people are idiots. Every once my children will tell me the comments they hear, and I'm like, boy, you need to stay away from that stuff. I mean, these people are just idiots. We live in a world where on Twitter, and you all know what happens when Twitter comes up, by one particularly, you can just sort of right at the moment just say what you want to say. Well, boy, I'm glad I'm not on Twitter or whatever it is. I'm so glad, because if I just wrote down everything I thought for the single moment and just said, there it is, it'd be out there forever and ever, and you go, I can't believe the preacher said that. Well, the truth is, folks, we got comments right and left, up, down, in and out. And you can get distracted. But you need to learn to rejoice in the Lord. That's the first step. I describe it this way. Sometimes, not bad circumstances, but the circumstances of life. And sometimes as a pastor, the circumstances that you deal with can just sort of drag you down a little bit. And this was kind of like a lifeline to me. Grab a hold, and I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I can rejoice in the Lord no matter what. No matter what, I can rejoice and be cheerful in Him. So I want to encourage you today. How do you learn to be content? Well, preacher, I'm happy. Well, what are you happy about? Well, I got plenty of money in the bank, everything's going great. Well, that's wonderful. But how about being happy in the Lord and being cheerful in Him and how good He is and how grateful He is? He later on says that we give our request to the Lord, we're to do it with thanksgiving. Because one of the secrets of life is to always be thankful for all that He's done and to rejoice and be cheerful in Him. So I ask you a question. Now, I'm not talking about you shout and carry on and hallelujah. I'm not talking about that. Sometimes you can do that, and that don't mean you're cheerful in the Lord. I'm talking about, are you cheerful? Are you contented? Are you satisfied with the lot in life? What you have, who you are, how you're treated, what's going on. Are you contented, satisfied? Well, I'll tell you one way to get over a little bit of the hump. Learn to focus on the Lord as we did in Exodus, where God taught Moses to focus on Him. But don't just focus on the Lord. Be cheerful in Him. Be cheerful in the Lord. Because He is always good. He's always gracious. He's sitting on the throne room today. And I guarantee you leave today, He's going to send this angel here, and He's going to send this angel here, and He's going to shoot this thing down here, He's going to shoot that thing down there, He's going to give you all this, He's going to do this, He's going to do that, and you'll never know a thing about it. But He's doing that. You just may not be aware of it. I encourage you today, be careful. Be careful of being satisfied in mediocrity. That's not what we're talking about. But we are talking about being satisfied in the Lord and rejoicing in Him and being cheerful in Him. Wherever you go, and I say this to me, do you bring cheerfulness in the Lord wherever you go? So what does He say? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Did you notice He says it twice? Rejoice in the Lord always. And then again, I'm telling you to rejoice. Whatever you do, that's your business. But hopefully when I leave today, I'm going to do a little bit of trying to just rejoice in the Lord and be cheerful in Him. And hopefully I'll do it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Going to be a few bumps in the road probably, but I'm going to try to focus my mind and say, Lord, help me just to be cheerful in You. Let's pray. Father, thank You, thank You, thank You for Your precious and wonderful word. Help us, Lord, in this world to learn to be content. As Christians, it is not just our righteousness, it's our attitude. And if we're gloomy and blue and just complaining and grumpy, who wants Christianity? But Lord, help us to be people who are cheerful in the Lord and enjoy our lives and enjoy ourselves. We don't mean, Lord, that when we're grieving and hurting, that's a natural human thing and You must take us through that process. You understand that, Lord. That's the nature of life. But in just the ordinary, everyday circumstances of life, help us, Lord, to just be cheerful in You. In Jesus' name we pray.